Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Monday, August 28th. We're back.
Good morning.
Hi, Rachel. It is hi, Rachel. It is our Rachel who's always high, and we greet her with a high
hi,
in the morning.
Sam.
In fact, I'm probably higher than you are this
morning.
You are. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you had a
I'm
reason
doing
for
fine.
It.
Yeah, I got up early, so I dabbled
You're
into
finally
my,
getting your air conditioning
My
fixed.
Edible. Yes, do you believe that?
At the end of the summer.
At
but
the
it
end
is
of the
hottest
summer.
Week. Finally, during the hottest week of the summer, you know?
I know. Actually, it was hotter when my thing just
broke
down
yeah.
yet a couple months ago. But it is. I mean, we're getting 100-plus degree here for the next week or so.
Yeah.
So that's what we have to look forward to. But you know what? I got to tell you, this is like just in the city. You go by the beach.
Oh, it's like
beautiful.
20. Yeah, it's like 20 degrees.
Yeah,
colder.
78 or something. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, much nicer.
Absolutely beautiful. So that's what I did, got away from the heat. Here in the valley, 110. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You know, that's
it's too hot.
California, we have all kinds of weather here.
Oh, yeah.
So you just have to know where to go. Did you, everybody was watching the fight. Did you watch the fight this weekend?
I caught a little bit of the fight. I got invited on Saturday to a really cool cannabis dinner that was thrown by the Canna Curious Club, which is a group of women, but the leader of it is a woman from England who throws events.
Canna Curious, I like that.
Yeah, Canna Curious Club, and we had the Herbal Chef, which is he's like a well-known cannabis chef, come and cook this meal that was medicated, and it was beautiful, and it was downtown in this like art gallery. And so it was good to see a bunch of people in the industry, and I got invited to just come and enjoy the night, and they handed out this really lovely gift box at the end, and I mean, there was music, and really the best part, I mean, it was all amazing, but my favorite was the chef did this communal dessert. I mean, the way he described it, which was really cool, is he put out this like glass table and did the dessert on it, and it's designed so that everyone gathers around and you know, there's conversation and people can enjoy this dessert together, which I thought was really cool, and it, you know, everyone could come and pick up pieces and
yeah
it's cool,
and everything was medicated.
Yeah,
so I mean, but
I mean, they had what they do is what he did was it was the meal was buffet style, because for them he puts on these family style meals, and then the dressings are all medicated. So he did there was salmon, there was a veggie option, and then there was a meat option. And so each of the sauces and whatever were all medicated.
So you can control how much you put in the food.
Yeah.
Good,
and you can
good.
Control what you want to be medicated. And
right,
whatever,
right.
So.
Yeah. Otherwise, cool. People would just be like fucking out of their minds,
right,
you know, with
right.
so much food, you know.
So it was really good. The meal was fantastic. My eyes were bigger than my stomach, so I overdid it on my plate. I felt bad because the chef was coming around like saying hi to everyone, and like there's a bunch of food on my plate, and I was like, oh my god, I hope he doesn't think I didn't like it. And I loved it. It was just
too much.
I just went in too hard with it. Yeah, so that was really cool. And you know, I love seeing these events, and that's why I really like going and being a part of, you know, if anyone ever asks me, like, I don't get paid to go to any of the events or whatever, but I just like supporting the community and seeing what people are doing with cannabis and how they're mainstreaming it, if you will. So
yeah, I know, and also to meet people, like-minded people.
Yeah,
I like
yeah,
that.
It's cool. And the thing is it to me, it's this woman is so like. It's really brave of her to want to come across the pond and throw these dinners, where in England you can't do stuff like this right now, you know? So she's still pursuing her passion, and, you know, I think she, like, took up all of her vacation days, so she can't even, you know, this is what her vacation was working.
Wow.
So
I don't know. I remember when, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I would go to Amsterdam because that was the only destination you could actually go and smoke weed.
Right.
So I would go there. Not a bad destination at all. Let me tell you, Amsterdam mm-hmm. is beautiful. And to experience it high, it's even nicer. But now, yeah, people come here to do it. You
right.
know?
Yeah, it's really That's cool. Weird. It would be cool to see. I mean, hopefully with legalization, we'll still be able to, you know, enjoy these events. And I mean, not that legalization would take it away, but I know like in Nevada, they're having a hard time advertising cannabis-themed events. I mean, you can't advertise stoned yoga. Yeah, it's really weird what they're doing
over
there. It is.
They don't, yeah, because you know
what?
And
you also, and the advertising rules are different in Las Vegas, in Nevada. You can't advertise models or any, you can't show consumption in advertising, which is kind of like cigarettes advertising.
Right.
Which is shitty because I went over and did a bunch of modeling and advertising, you know, for these advertisements, which can no longer be used. But
yeah, that's interesting. You know, yeah. And it's because there's a combination of, well, first you have the federal law that prohibits everything. Then you have state law and county law and city ordinances.
The thing is like cigarettes and alcohol. Well, more so alcohol, you can show whatever kind of advertising you want. I mean, like, and that's killed so many people and no one has ever died from smoking weed. So that's crazy. You know, it's just another, you know, double standard, if you will.
Right. But hopefully it's changing, you know. So I'm looking forward to next year to see what it'll be like when it's
legal.
We'll
see. I know there's a bill like that's up for that's going against merchandise, which I don't know how they'll be able to do it, which is basically saying that people can't sell merchandise with weed on it, which is so, like, what are they going to do with all the Venice shops that have been selling weed
and
merchandise for
and
years?
There's no logic in it, you know. It's always like for the kids, but kids are not supposed to be around this anyway.
Well, the kids are going to find it. I mean, they're going to get it anyways. There's always going to be a parent at school, you know, you know, and whose kids are exposed to it because you can't keep the kids are going to find it on the internet at school, after school, wherever. You can't shelter them from.
No, you got to educate them and hope for the best, you know. I mean, but it's just like with sex, you know.
Exactly. It would be such an interesting experiment if we took, like, you know, two groups of kids and either didn't educate them on weed or sex and then from a young age expose them responsibly to both, you know, just normally, like, when two people are in love, they do this and they get, you know, like, if you just educate kids, they're not. It takes away that like wonder, you know what I mean, and fulfills that place of okay, like there's the answer to that moving forward, you know what I mean,
right?
Like,
it
you
becomes
know that when
yeah
you,
it becomes normal to you. It's not something that like you
and
know.
Like exactly like I have one of the girls that works with Olivia is a mom who is also a cannabis mother cannabis advocate. Her thing is called the Mother Hustler, and her whole thing is about cannabis and parenting. And she has a room, her and her husband have a room in their house that is, you know, or like in their garage or just an area where they go and consume. And like their kids, you know, just know that mommy, they don't know necessarily what they're doing. And I'm sure they'll have like that discussion, but they're just, you know, they don't stop their lives for it. Yeah, and there's going to come a time where they're going to, you know, teach their kids.
Right.
So.
Very interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know, I always hid it for my kids and everything, and they never knew I smoked until I confessed after they started smoking.
Right.
So, I mean, they're going to be exposed to it no matter what, you know, and if you just give them the education to do it responsibly, because you can't control what your kid does, you know, I mean, they grow, they become 17, 18.
Or there's always, you know, there's the risk that, like, people think the risk of exposing or educating kids will make them want to do something more. Where in fact, I think it's almost the opposite.
Yeah.
I think if you expose them to like, here, this is what it is, they may not even want to do it. They just want to know what it's about. You know, the curiosity lies within what is it, you know, just telling them about it.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know. That's just what I think.
Yeah. So the fight was going on.
I caught a little bit of it. I mean,
did you? Apparently it was streamed on Facebook.
Who did you want to win?
I didn't care really. I mean, I really don't care about the boxing. That's why I was invited to a party too, and then I thought, nah, I'll pass on that. I don't have the patience to sit and watch this. But I do understand that other people love this. Mayweather won.
Everybody knows. I think it's interesting that. I mean, I thought it was an interesting fight because McGregor is a UFC fighter, correct? He came from a UFC background.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, McGregor, I think, is a UFC fighter, and he challenged the greatest boxer, one of the current greatest boxer in the world.
Right.
And obviously, he's going to probably lose, but he did earn some respect because he already got another boxing fight.
Right.
So, I mean, he may have lost. I mean, everyone wins in that situation.
Yeah.
No one goes home with millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Either way, they're rich.
Right.
But he also, you know, this he may not have won the fight, but he got respect within the boxing community because UFC and boxing are two totally different things.
Gotcha.
And there's different rules and whatnot. So, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, least, yeah.
You know?
No, it is. You know, and they're saying, but I don't know how much McGregor got, but
it doesn't matter. Way more than I will ever see probably in my life.
Right. But McGregor got $300 million. Can you imagine for a couple hours?
I'll be a loser.
For what? Like half an hour
here,
of boxing?
Come rough me up for nine rounds.
I'll take all of it. So he's going to be a billionaire now, they're saying. He's going to join the Billionaire Athlete Club. So there
Isn't
you go.
It, I mean, it's just, meanwhile, we have a storm going. I mean, I fucking hate how much money athletes just make.
I know.
I get it because I get it. I understand why, and it's not to take away from all the hard work that athletes put into, like, physically, mentally, emotionally, everything. Like, that is hard work, and it is worth something for sure.
Right.
But I mean, it's hard to look at that and, like, celebrate that when like just our country is suffering and people are suffering like it's just so ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
And because people
hold on a second, we'll come back to that, but
did I
just disconnect our guest? Sorry, but I totally forgot to say we're gonna have a guest, so he's calling in and we'll take the call in just a second. And usually I like to introduce the phone guest beforehand, but we're going to talk to John Milton. He'll call back in a second. And I think I disconnected him or something. So
on accident.
Yeah. I'm wondering where he's calling from. And some area codes I know because I used to be a telephone operator in a previous generation. And we'll try it again here. Maybe I'll try and call him. And let's see if that works.
See.
Okay. So hopefully he'll know it's us. Yeah. You know, this is funny, but sometimes
I
you just
do.
Him. Yeah, yeah. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
Another day in paradise. How about yourself?
Great, great. Where are you calling us from today?
I'm in Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Wow. The storms haven't hit you, have they? Or you probably wouldn't be
not really. I've got a son in Austin, Texas, and he's really just getting a lot of rain.
Wow.
I think a lot of times when they have these events that the media blows it up a lot more than it is.
Really? Wow. But in Houston, it's a real thing right now.
I think people just don't realize how big Texas actually is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, Houston, I have a cousin there, and it's a big deal there. But the outlying areas mainly are just getting wind and rain and that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty bad in Houston. And I think, you know, the media is definitely, like, accurate in portraying that. But I don't think people realize that how giant Texas, the state, you know, it's huge.
It's huge.
Gigantic.
But, yeah. So, So you're from Alabama. Is that where you grew up to, or did you move there?
I'm still working on that.
Okay. So, Don, let's introduce what it is that you do. You have a website. For those of you who want to follow us, you can go to donmilton.net. Growth by Design is your brand. Tell us a little bit about that, Don. What it is that you do.
Well, I guess the short version is that I teach people by their own experience. You know, if they follow directions and do some exercises, how the world really works and what really causes us to feel the way we feel. Most people think that it's what happens that causes you to feel a way. You know, your dog dies, you have financial problems, you have health problems, and you feel angry, you feel this, you feel that. No, it's not what happens that causes us to feel a way. It's how we think about what happens.
Right. How we view what happens to us, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's how you... Now, you know, obviously, you know, there's things that appear worse than others, and we have to deal with them. It's not that you just ignore everything and you're apathetic about it. But right. The deal is, imagine this, Sam. If it was true that outside events could affect the way we feel, we'd be screwed. Because how often is everything just like you think it ought to be world?
That's true. It's never perfect, right?
it's never perfect. So once a person learns that it's your thinking that causes the feeling, and there's techniques to very quickly change your thinking, which changes the feelings, that makes your world totally different. If I call myself an emotional freedom coach.
Right.
A coach is someone who can teach us to play some game better, play better golf, play better basketball, play better life. So when we have emotional freedom, when we don't have anger, frustration, depression, anxiety, that takes a lot of energy.
It really does.
We can free up all that energy and use it to have a more productive, happier life, that changes everything.
Right. So it's about the way we think. And is that what you do? I mean, you tell people how to, or you show them how to think in a different way?
I give them exercises. I always tell people, Sam, I said, don't believe anything I say, but be open to everything and have your own experiences. To me, it's all about experiences. We can talk about, you know, I can say, hey, you know, Sam, the fact that somebody broke your car window and you feel angry and this and that's breaking your car window didn't cause that, Sam.
Right.
We can talk about it all day. But until you have an experience, until I give you a technique and say, Sam, do this and see what happens.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you go from being really angry to where, oh, somebody broke my car window, I got to go deal with it. But then you have an experience, and that's an aha moment.
I have a question. Have you ever heard about DBT therapy?
DBT?
Yeah, dialectical behavioral therapy.
Mm. I have not.
It's kind of the same. I mean, it's kind of, it's using, like, analyzing your thoughts and your emotions and using different techniques to kind of, the whole theme behind it is a life worth living. Because a lot of people who go to DBT suffer from, like, mental health issues, but also, like, maybe medication or traditional therapy isn't helping, but it's kind of like it's like using tools to kind of rewire your brain to like, when something happens to you, what are the appropriate reactions to handle it, you know? And there's, like, several different techniques, like you stop, and then you, like, do breathing exercises before you react. So I was just wondering if that was similar, because it kind of it's without using it's without medication. I mean, people may be taking medication when they do this type of therapy, but it's purely just like exercises that you practice to handle every day.
I've got basically four different techniques that I use in my business. One is emotional freedom technique, EFT, which involves, you know, focusing on a specific emotion and a specific event and a specific emotion within that event, and then tapping on certain meridian points. And it's amazing how quickly the negative emotions go.
Really?
So that's a tapping process.
Right.
There's another process called matrix reimprinting, which is a deeper way to use EFT. It's a tapping process, but you sort of take a person into a different state before they do the tapping. And then there's a sort of a cognitive piece, the Byron Katie work. Are either of you heard of Byron Katie?
No.
Yeah,
her work basically, the concept is, when we argue with reality, we only lose 100% of the time. When we have these thoughts, this should be like this, this should be like that, Then we have emotional distress. And then another piece is called Tapas acupressure technique, which is instead of tapping, you hold certain points. So those four, and there's lots of things out there. I mean, the things that I use is not the only thing.
Right.
But there's things that I know. I've been doing it for, full time for, over 12 years now, hundreds, thousands of people, All kinds of issues. And, they work.
Yeah. So, yeah. I know you have like a long list of all the different healing approaches you have and all that. It's very interesting to know how people can take different approaches,
right?
To basically treat with how do I deal with life's
challenges. Well,
challenges.
It's interesting because I do DBT therapy, which is very, I think it sounds very similar to EFT because DBT is based in like Buddhism principles and breathing techniques and just like doing a lot of it sounds like self-talk and things like that, which sounds very similar to EFT. And it's kind of crazy that they don't teach this in school because it's very much like interpersonal relate, it teaches you how to talk with yourself, communicate with yourself. And I really think that we as a society would benefit with this just as much as learning math, science, and history.
I'm sorry, I did not get your name at the
Rachel. It's Rachel.
Rachel, okay. Rachel, you're exactly right. I mean, I have really these techniques that I use, the EFT particularly, 3 and 4 year old children can use it. I've had clients that taught their children, and just imagine, if children could start clearing off all these things. I agree with you totally. I mean, the schools, the elementary schools,
they don't teach these things.
Yeah,
they do not.
And their skills, more so than their skills, more than anything, because if we learned how to manage our emotions and
it's life skills.
It's so true, and it gets skipped over. And I think that's why there's a lot of it's seen as mental illness in this country when really it's just people who haven't learned how to do this properly.
Yeah.
And Rachel, let me ask you this question. How long have you been doing the DBT process?
I've been in therapy pretty much my whole life. but I've been doing DBT for years, which I want to say the past 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, well, let me ask you this, and I know nothing about DBT, but before you got involved in DBT, could someone have told you in a way that you would have understand how quickly you could eliminate negative emotions? Would that, or did you have to have your own experience to really understand that?
I mean, I had to have, I knew that there was, I guess I had, the whole reason I got into DBT was because I knew that there, or someone had mentioned to me that there was this type of therapy out there that could teach you to kind of manage these emotions. Because for me, I experience emotions very intensely, all kinds, every kind of emotion I experience, it's overwhelming for me. So I had to, I found DBT because I was told that there was this type of therapy out there, if you will.
Right. Don, I wanted to ask you, you talk about experiences and everything. How did you get into this? I mean, did you have any experiences in your life where it really made you decide, okay, I'm going to take this direction? Because you've been doing it for 12 years already.
Yeah. Well, I started off, and I don't know, are we limited to 15 minutes here, Sam?
Go ahead. Hey,
I'm gonna tell you as quick as I can. Yeah, I started out as a theoretical mathematician researcher. I'm 72 years old now. I did that for a few years. Then I got into investment real estate business. I did that for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And I thought at the age of 45, 46, I thought I had it all figured out. And then I went through a divorce and some very traumatic financial experiences, and my world got turned upside down. I was at the age I thought, what the hell? I met a guy from Sedona, Arizona, and I did some work with him. I got into Reiki. I you know, for the first 45, 46 years of my life, if I didn't see, feel, touch, or understand it, it did not exist. I was a very logical person. I was in Mensa for a number of years. Yeah, intellectually, I was very smart, but I had no clue about the realm of the heart, intuition, energy, consciousness. So around 1992, I got into a whole nother world, and I continued to do real estate for a while. And I never intended on doing this, but that by the early, you know, around 2003, I had probably spent $100,000, 20,000 hours just studying all kind of things and learning. And when I learned about the tapping, that put everything together. And, you know, I use the term God, higher power, whatever you want to use. I mean, by then, I had been into meditation and journaling. And, you know, I was kind of aware of how life worked, and I understood how to get in touch with my higher power and get information and trust it. So when I went and took this class out in Los Angeles in 2003, I was immediately guided that I should quit real estate, do this full time. Ooh. I argued with God for 2 years on that one.
That's a long conversation. Yeah,
In 2005, I jumped off the cliff. I closed my real estate business. I did not renew my real estate license, and I've never looked back. So, yeah, I do this work from my own experience and not from theory or books, and I continue to do this in my life. It's how I live my life.
Right. And, you know, we talk about people having problems and stuff. I see here in the notes you were actually in a car accident and in a coma for 6 weeks. Wow.
I was, you know, up until that point, I didn't take any medications. I had a really strong body, no broken bones. But, you know, I got, my car had hydroplaned. And while I was waiting on a tow truck, I was standing on the side of the road. It was raining.
Wow.
And I was standing on the side of the road. I got hit. I never knew what hit me.
Yeah.
I was hit by an SUV going 70 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
And,
wow.
I was in, when I came out of the coma, I was hooked up to all kind of tubes. I mean, for the first 2 weeks, I would have just rather died. It was just, I mean, I was in different hospitals for 13 weeks. And when I came home, it was about 3 months after I was home before I had enough strength to cut my own fingernails with a clipper.
Oh, my God.
It was a very difficult process. I mean,
yeah. Now, if you've overcome that adversity, my God, man, you can overcome everything, you know? That's pretty cool.
So, you know, if you guys are ever interested, I would be more than glad. I mean, I don't know the format of your show, but I would be more than glad if we had some time to have people call in and demonstrate what I do. Or if you don't have time for that, I would be glad to do a short session for either you or Rachel individually, by phone or Skype.
Okay.
And what I used to do a few years ago, I had a virtual assistant that was, you know, wanting to market my work, and I was on all these shows and, probably was on about 30 different radio shows, anywhere from an hour to 2 hour. And what I did on the show, people would call in and we just deal with issues.
Right.
And,
very cool.
What's interesting is you would think with people having these amazing experiences that I would get a lot of business out of it. I hardly got any business out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, you do what you love to do and people will find you. So tell people, for those of you just joining us, you can go to donmilton.net, and the website is Growth by Design. You can see he's got like EFT videos and personal healing in just about every area you can think of. I see even weight loss and cravings and anxiety and PTSD. So obviously, you cover a lot of areas here, and I can see how you can benefit a lot of people, you know. So, okay, so I guess people can contact you through the website. I see you also on social media and stuff, so people can find you on Twitter and so forth. And that's it. Anything we didn't cover that you want to mention real quick?
Well, I'd say a couple of things real quick. One is that I can do this work with people all over the world. You know, I work with people by phone or Skype or, you know, video. It works just as well like that as it does in person. And then I did create a separate site, EFTVideoTutorials.com, which is 17 different videos, about 15 to 20 minute videos, showing people how to use basic EFT for themselves. And so I would suggest anybody interested in this type of thing, the videos are $37. They have a 60-day money-back guarantee. They come with a bonus package and, you know, like stop smoking, food cravings, all this stuff. I would suggest anybody interested start off with a video. And then if they want more, you know, they can contact me for a session if they like.
Sounds good, Don. And so people all over the world can contact you. If they're in Alabama, maybe you can even meet them for coffee at Starbucks or something, right?
Yeah, like I say, if you guys, you got my phone number, if you want to set up something where we do some demos online, yeah, or if either one or both of you want to have an... And Rachel, it might be real interesting, since you've had so much experience with therapy, I would be glad to give you my basic one-on-one sessions are 90 minutes.
Oh,
so I would be glad to give you a free 90-minute session.
Oh, wow.
So you could compare it to what else you've done.
Yeah.
You know, with the understanding that if you really like it, that you'll talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. We always talk about
things
we believe in, you know. So, yes. Okay, so we'll get you together with Rachel and everything. That sounds really exciting. Thank you so much for being so generous,
yeah, that's,
Don.
That's awesome. Thank you, Don.
And we learned a lot today, I think, and that's a cool thing. So, everybody, again, what's the other EFT videos, was it?
The other site is EFTVideoTutorials.com.
Okay.
But actually, they can get there from the homepage on my main site.
Right. There we go. I'm there right now. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, EFT video program. Sounds good. So I see. Yeah, you've got like all this like therapy and healing and stuff. Sounds very interesting. I like that.
Well, you know, and you know, like Rachel said, if we could get these DVT, some of these techniques into the schools, I mean, my goodness, you know, they learn all these technical stuff and a lot of worthless stuff. But just imagine with the suicide rate, the anxiety, I'm not a marketing person, but I've always wanted to connect up with somebody that had a passion for getting these techniques into places, because so much good could be done. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know how difficult DVT is, but EFT, when I did these videos, I imagined that you were sitting in front of me and I had 15 minutes to tell you how to use EFT for some issue.
Right.
And that's what I did.
Even in schools, but even in businesses, because think about how many, you know, issues within the workplace would be eradicated if people just had these, because there's so many, you know, at work, they tell you to leave the emotion at home. You need to calm and do, and that's just not reality. Like, we're emotional beings. We're going to carry our emotions everywhere we go, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Don Milton, it's Growth by Design, and you guys can contact him and watch the videos and everything on the website. Don, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Much continued success to you, and sounds like you've got a lot to offer people, and I think when people are feeling down, they could use all the help they can get, you know? And there you go.
Thank you very much, and Rachel, contact me. We'll schedule it.
For sure.
Sam, I'll give you... Hey, Sam, I'll give you the same offer. You probably don't have any problems.
I have a lot of problems. I've been in therapy, too, believe me.
Anyhow, I'll give you both the same offer and just call to schedule it.
That's awesome, man. Don, thank you so much again, and have a wonderful day.
All right, see you. Bye, Rachel.
Bye. Take care.
Yeah, interesting the stuff that people get into and stuff. But he's got like so many different therapy methods and stuff. Very interesting, you know. So, okay, so we talked about the, we didn't really talk about the storm in, but Houston is underwater like you wouldn't believe.
It's so sad.
You know, and did you see, but you see a lot of heroic stories. I watched yesterday some of the news.
Oh, man, did
people
you see
just help other people.
Of the home, the old
lady's in
home.
The. Yeah.
Oh, they're just sitting in that water. One woman's knitting.
Right.
She doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, they don't know where to go. They can't get up. They're sitting on a couch, and the water's up to their chest.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah,
that's
I know. Those
so
are
crazy.
So, and you've seen like people carrying their kids. You see babies. You know, I mean, everybody's involved in this.
Yeah.
You know? So, and you need to get to higher ground. And I saw people just bring in their boats and cars or trucks and helping people move from one place to the other.
Yeah.
And they asked the guy, why are you doing this? He's like, well, that's what you do, you know. Mm-hmm. So Americans do know how to pull together.
Well, I did. Not only that, but even Mexico offered support. There was an article out today that, you know, the president of Mexico was like, of course, you're our neighbors, you know, anything that we can do. And I love seeing that because,
right.
I mean, it's true. We help other countries. Other countries, you know, come and help us in times of need, and that's just what you do.
Right, right. But I right now, when America is so divided, I like to see how people pull together and to pull out of disasters. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're saying this is like one of the worst things they've ever seen.
Yep.
You know? So wow, it's pretty heavy stuff. I mean, the rivers are like swelling and.
They said they're going to be taking care of this for a long time, well after Christmas, well after.
Yeah.
Because the rivers and the lakes or whatever are going to just fill up and.
Wow. 30,000 people will go into shelters. Wow. So that's a lot of people. Other things, as we all heard, Whole Foods was purchased by Amazon, right? So Amazon now
so much cheaper
is slashing the prices now. So I mean, some by like 30%. I can't believe this. Like organic bananas, for example, from $1 to 70 cents. Avocados from $3 to $1.50. That's half a price. So there you go. Amazon
Does
now is going to kill
Foods
everybody
is
else.
Going to lower their prices, or is it just through through?
No, no. This is no. Whole Foods reduced their prices.
Right.
Just since Amazon bought
it. Okay, so exactly. Okay, okay,
right.
Okay. Wow.
But
so
they're leaving it as a separate company for now, I guess.
So if you walk into a Whole Foods, the prices are cheaper?
Yes.
Wow.
And you can buy an Echo and shit like that, which is Amazon products too, you know? But that Alexa thing. But yeah, the price is going to be. I never shopped there, but
I did,
you know what?
And I'm going to tell you, I went into Whole Foods, I got four things, and it's $40.
Wow.
Whereas I go to Trader Joe's, I'll get like 12 things, and it'll be like $34. It's just insane. Where does it go?
It is,
you know,
right?
where does it go?
Right. But they do give you a nice shopping experience, right?
At Whole Foods?
Yeah. I mean, isn't everything like high quality? No?
Who really knows? But I would rather. I mean, I feel like the quality isn't being like there's you can still get good quality at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, it's just
such and plus produce doesn't have tax on it, so why is it so expensive? You know?
Yeah. Well, organic, that's why. And there's not
well,
a
there's
big
also
market
a, but
for
there's
it.
Also like a bunch of information and news articles out about like the stuff that they tell you that's organic is oftentimes not really organic. You know
right.
what I mean? So it's like.
But let's say it is, okay? Still, what it means, though, is that, look, obviously it doesn't have a mass market appeal like non-organic.
But why is something that uses less pesticides and less whatever
right.
more expensive?
Because
you know?
They don't make as much of it as they do regular
with the GMOs
ones.
And everything.
Yeah, so when a market is smaller, the prices go higher.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's probably what it is. But apparently Amazon is willing to lose money to just penetrate this market. And that's what they're going to do, man. They're like, we're going to be Amazon fucking slaves here. That's going to be Big Brother, not the government.
Why?
Because they're controlling everything. I mean,
Amazon?
they made everything disappear. All the retail. I mean, they're so disruptive. They've changed everything about the way we shop.
I think it's also more just like they saw a demand in the market in which I don't think it was Amazon that ruined everything. I mean, people don't like going out and buying.
Well, that's
things,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
So they're just.
Well, but I don't know that people don't. Don't you like going to like bookstores and record stores?
It's beyond that. You can blame it on Steve Jobs with the invention of the Apple iPhone. People realize that they don't need to go out to purchase stuff anymore. And it is a lot, especially in big cities and people who work and do the 9 to 5.
Right, but
or
how good is it that you have just one to choose from? You know what I'm saying? They have an ecosystem where, I mean, look, I like Amazon. I'm guilty of it too.
Right.
Because it's convenient and it's cheap.
It's not their fault. I mean, that's just what the that's
I'm
just
not
how
saying
the
about fault or no fault. I'm just saying they disrupted the market. And they made this possible where now we shop from one place for everything. Do you know how many retailers are hurting because of Amazon? I can't even tell you. You know, I mean, look at Macy's and all these.
I don't think it's just Amazon's fault. I mean, that's
no,
just...
No, but they're the leader in this, you know?
I think it's... Look at what the consumer habits are.
You can't stop technology, that's for sure.
Right,
you know?
But it's not... It's not Amazon's fault. Consumers are going where they want to go and where they want to spend money.
Right. But who presented this option in the first place?
If people didn't like it, they wouldn't shop there.
Exactly. I'm not saying that they don't like it. I just told you. But
President Trump also hates Amazon, and I just think that's just like...
He hates Amazon?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He blames Amazon for a bunch of shit, but I think it's not... It's just Trump is jealous.
But you got to look at the business aspect of it. I'm not even talking about fault or no fault, but Amazon had a huge impact on business, on the economy, and on how people do things.
Good for them.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, good for them.
You know, good for them. But I think what this means is our choices are being narrowed, and that's not good for the consumer.
How are
but
our
at the
choices
same time,
being narrowed, though?
Because other people are closing down because they can't compete with
Amazon. There may not be necessarily closing down. They might just be going online. Like a lot of stores
But look
are,
how many are folding. They're closing stores by the
that's
hundreds
not, I
and
don't
thousands.
Know if that's necessarily Amazon's fault.
Okay, you keep saying that. You keep saying that. I don't know. But why are you talking about fault here? I'm not talking about somebody.
But you said, I thought you were blaming Amazon.
No, I'm not blaming Amazon. I'm saying that Amazon is the one that disrupted the market and set the standard for how online is going. You know, I mean, free shipping and all this shit. It's like, you know, I mean, all I'm saying is that in capitalism, I want a big selection. And we still have it. But I'm caught in that world of Amazon, too.
I just don't think capitalism necessarily works anymore, either.
Yeah, I know. That's why you keep insisting Amazon.
I think it's more just like, it's not like capitalism.
I would never live anywhere that's not as capitalistic as America. That's
I don't
I
think
here.
It's, I think the, I think capitalism, what it looked like in the past was one thing, and that the future of capitalism, just like every other thing, needs to change and merge with like what is going on with technology, and maybe we need to adapt. Like there's no place there may not be a place for all of it, you know what I mean? Like there may not be, because of technology, like small businesses, they may just need to live online instead of have these brick and mortars.
And,
you know
okay,
what I mean?
Live online doing what? Selling the same stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, and you think they can compete with Amazon?
I think it's because if it's online, you have a global market. Whereas if you had a brick and mortar,
seeing people closing and hurting because of Amazon. So what? Let me tell you what happens to the businesses. They can't compete with Amazon, so they start selling their own products themselves on Amazon, but then they can't stay on their own, and Amazon takes a big chunk of their money, of their profits and everything. So no, I have to I beg to differ, because I'm seeing actual people, their businesses are going down because they can't compete anymore. And look, I'm not saying again. This is where it's going because of capitalism, and I wouldn't intervene in this at all. You know, I mean, if they threaten to become a monopoly, that would be a problem. But But let me tell you this. For me, capitalism is right up there with give me freedom or give me death, whatever. You know? But no, I will never live in a socialist country. I came from one that started as a socialist country. I did not like what I saw. And
you didn't? Are you talking about Israel?
Israel, yeah. It started as a very socialistic country. I mean, the kibbutz, the idea of a commune.
You didn't the kibbutz idea?
No, the kibbutz I liked, but there was a lot of bureaucracy and red tape and government involvement in your life, and there still is. You know, I mean, I'm not for that. I'm basically for small government. I want the government to do for me what I can't do for myself.
That's crazy. No nothing. Why? You want the government to do for you what you can't do for yourself? That's government intervention.
No, that's not an intervention. What I'm talking about is police, for example, military, protect me from bad people, build roads for me, provide me with electricity and stuff. I'll gladly pay taxes for these things. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't need the government to intervene in other things.
I don't want the government to intervene if I want to have an abortion.
Right, like you said, you know.
That's such a Republican cause, though, but it goes against everything that they stand for.
I know.
Gay marriage. Like, why should the government control who you want to marry?
Right, right.
That's crazy.
Right, and that comes, I think, from a religious background.
Yeah,
right?
That's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, a couple more things. I guess some Americans are rushing to travel to North Korea because September 1st, we're going to have a travel ban for traveling to North Korea.
Oh, we are?
Yes. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
So some people are rushing to go there. Now, my question is, why the hell would you be going there? Actually, the travel ban, is it issued by... No, I don't think it's issued by Korea. Okay, North Korea.
Oh, they're saying that no Americans come in.
Your passports are no good there. Okay, that's what they mean. Okay, so people are rushing to go there. My question is, why the hell would you do this? This guy's like, yeah, I always wanted to learn Korean. I'm like, so go to South Korea. What's your problem? You know, it's like people get arrested and shit like that, you know.
That's crazy.
But it was... The ban was issued after the death of U.S. You see, that's what I'm saying. I think the U.S. issued this.
Are you sure?
They're not even explaining this correctly.
What website are you on?
I'm on CNN.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a U.S. ban. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So
it is a U.S. ban.
It came from us.
From us. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's that. What else? Oh, the last thing is, this is pretty chilling. We were talking about people in homes and stuff. I guess this German nurse, it's a guy, okay, murdered at least 90 patients. And apparently what he was doing is he was injecting them with a drug that can cause a heart failure or circulatory collapse. And then he would try to revive them, and he felt a high from bringing him back to life. He felt euphoric. That's what he told them, the authorities. So between 1999 and 2001, 90 people, man. Fuck. This guy
man,
was playing games.
If you wanted to get high, just go to a dispensary.
Yeah. You need euphoria from doing this kind of shit?
There are so many other ways to receive euphoria.
Yeah, right?
Than besides killing
someone.
But
I mean,
someone.
The sickness, you know. So apparently they're saying he's going to be one of the country's worst ever serial killers. That's scary shit, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the hospital and you end up like that. That's pretty rough, man. All right, so we're going to wrap up. We're going to give our best wishes to Houston and the people there. That's got to be tough, man.
Yeah.
The Dallas mayor's saying ready to help. So everybody's joining the effort, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal. So I'll bet you we're going to forget about Katrina after this one, probably.
Well, not the victims, but
yeah,
this will be on par with it.
Yeah, different victims, same shit, man. All right, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Rachel, thanks as always.
Always.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.